True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the Birds Town Hall, live at McGurk's in Royers Ford. Sponsored by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. There's nothing like opening day at McGurk's for the start of the baseball season. Jason Avant with us at the Birds Town Hall. Thank you, Jason, for joining us today.
So, is right. Jalen Hurts elite?
Yeah. Is Jalen Hurts elite?
Am I answering that?
No. Go ahead.
Knock yourself out.
Go ahead.
Say next year's a prove-it year for Jalen?
No, winning matters.
It does.
Winning matters, and the truth is that Jalen Hurts is not even a Super Bowl away, but he would have 2 Super Bowls running for a faulty field.
Mm.
Man, that's what that just
showed
me.
Other team had to play on the field, too.
Whatever. The way that they handled that team, I thought that they would do it. Like, it just reminds you a few years ago. I thought that defensive line was better than this defensive line.
So let me ask you this, then. How do you balance, without getting into the debate about is or isn't elite, okay. I would ask you this. Because there are certainly elite quarterbacks in the history of the NFL who have not won a Super Bowl. Right? Dan Marino didn't win a Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Ike doesn't think Phillip Rivers was elite. I do think he was. Didn't win a Super Bowl. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Eli Manning did win 2 Super Bowls, but wasn't an elite player if you were going to look at his regular seasons. You know, he's probably not a Hall of Famer if he doesn't win those 2 Super Bowls. So I guess my question is, when you're calling someone elite, and I think even though we can't put words on it, we all sort of know what we think when we think of it. How do you balance the overall play in a consistent way versus the winning part of it at the end? How do you make that balance?
Well, let's think of it, right? I think that we are prisoners of gaudy numbers. I think we're prisoners of a bunch of passing touchdowns. We don't take consideration, rushing touchdowns, turning the ball over, going winning drives, making winning plays. Those are the things that matter. And you'll have a bunch of guys around the league that will do well for your fantasy football, and everyone loves those guys, right? Because you're going to win your fantasy league. But guess what? When it's nut-cutting time, you can't find those guys. Just like you can't find Justin Herbert, just like you can't find Lamar Jackson, just like you can't find Josh Allen in those critical moments. Not saying every time, but in the playoffs, a bunch of times, he comes up short. Jalen Hurts in those moments shines brighter, and that to me means more. LeBron James having all the stats in the world in the regular season doesn't mean anything when it comes to Michael Jordan upping his point total and his winning percentage in the playoffs. Those stats should matter more.
But Michael Jordan was also great all regular season.
He was, and I'm not saying Jalen Hurts should be categorized as great in a different manner. We're just prisoners of, oh, this guy had 40 passing touchdowns rather than 40 total touchdowns.
But Josh Allen didn't have, gaudy numbers this year. Why did he win MVP?
Because it's a community award of the last year. That was a Ron Dane consecutive year being great award winning this year.
It was his time to win.
So you don't think Josh Allen was great this year?
He was, but it wasn't good enough to win an MVP.
Yeah, you could have put the
argument.
It's the same thing between Joker and Shea and all those things. Shea may win it this year, but Joker is still the better player this year.
So do you think that Joe Burrow is an elite quarterback?
Yeah, I think that he's an elite quarterback.
Okay, do you think that Josh Allen's an elite quarterback?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so if you took those guys and put them on last year's Eagles, do you think they would have won the Super Bowl?
Do I think so? I think so.
Okay, so that's the hard part for me, is that I think if you put Jalen Hurts on – now, we can never know, right? But I think if you put Jalen Hurts on this year's Bills, they're probably not in the AFC Championship game.
I don't know about that. The reason is just because one guy is reliant on make it or break it. Some guys don't have to go down to the wire to win a game. Jalen Hurts is going to keep you in a positive situation most of the game. And guess what? He can rally the troops and somebody else can help him win the game. But he's going to keep them in that position the entire time. And I always was told by coaches that the greatest compliment that you can have as a player is that he's consistently good. The dude that can do it over and over again, not have these highs and lows where you're the MVP, but yet you throw an egg in the playoffs like Lamar Jackson did in critical moments. Like, the guy that's consistent, that's greatness, doing it over and over and over again. You get so bored with it because he's the same player day in and day out.
So how much stock do you put in at the – he was turning the ball over. He led the league in turnovers in 23. He was turning the ball over a lot in the first four games. And they decided at the bye week, we're not going to have him throw the ball very much anymore. So where do you put that in, where the team decides actively to go away from that guy having as much impact on the game? Well, where do you put that in when you're evaluating it?
Like, I think you have to go back into all of these guys' career. Like, Josh Allen has been known to turn the ball over, and then he had some corrective ways. These guys are constantly growing.
Sure.
Jalen is growing, too. I just don't think that we give him the opportunity to grow because we want him to be like Josh Allen or we want him to be like Joe Burrow rather than Jalen growing at his pace. Understanding that there's a different offensive coordinator pretty much every year. There's new terminology, there's new things, and he has to grow. So with that being said, and I myself have not given Jalen the most grace, but when you consider what he's done over and over and you look back over, it's pretty outstanding.
I think both sides would probably jump a little too much on a lot of those things. I think the people who are negative about him, like I am, or I was, or if you think I am now, I don't think I am now.
I'm fair. I'm not negative, I'll say the truth.
I think the truth is that in the debate about him, there were probably people who were putting him in a category above where he should be too early, and there were probably people doubting what he had done too much. And I think it sort of skewed the conversation about what he actually is.
So,
which is,
just quickly, I was going to say, I think one thing people undersell when it's like, well, if he went to Buffalo or Cincinnati or Baltimore, like, could he win there? Is not turning the ball over is a legitimate skill. And when you don't turn the ball over in the NFL, you really do win a high percentage of the game. So you're right that you need a great, like, your defense has to be good and all those things when your strategy of not winning is not turning the ball over. But I do think he could go to other places and win, because when you don't turn the ball over, that is a winning brand of football.
But
it is a winning brand of football. And I'll add this too. The thing that we don't give Jalen credit for, Jalen, especially this year, completes a high number of his throws, like down the
field.
This year. He's been getting better and better at it.
Sure.
Right? So it's a
he
drop.
He did in 2022, too, as well.
It's a drop in a bucket to throw down the field throws with Jalen Hurts. If he has a clear pocket and he sees that the ball is delivered accurately, that's something that we can't deny.
Well, the last 9 weeks, though, they didn't complete a pass of 20-plus yards in the air.
But he didn't throw it deep either.
What does that tell you?
Well, they played a conservative brand of football.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
They threw it 32nd most in the league.
But I think you're punishing them a little too much for playing a conservative brand of football. Like, that's what they wanted him to do. And you can say, well, that's because they thought
This is the same thing with J.J. McCarthy at the University of Michigan. They won a national championship. J.J. McCarthy, 77% of his passes, won national
championship. Another noodle arm.
Everybody says that he's not going to be a pro quarterback, and they're down on him.
He was my QB1 in the draft.
And he's going to kill it this year for the Vikings.
Bad news for J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. He was Elliott's number one guy.
Yeah. Him and Cardell.
I'll say this. I think much like what happened with Lamar, as he continued to develop, even though he put up some gaudy numbers, there were still people that questioned how good of a thrower of the football he was. Could he throw with anticipation? Things of that nature. That he was sort of being viewed from an athletic quarterback standpoint. So I only say that to say this as it pertains to Jalen compared to those guys. It's not an equal playing field. He obviously doesn't have the same arm strength as a Joe Burrow and a Josh Allen. If that were the case, he would not have been the 54th pick in the draft. He would have been a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
So, and he's also not 6'5", like Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, right? So there are some things there that Jalen is working with to have to overcome in order to still be a winner. And Jason, you'll know this. There is an advantage to being a 6'5", 235-pound athletic quarterback.
Sure.
Yeah, just like being a 7'2 center, Spike.
It's certainly an advantage. You should have a high field goal percentage and everything else. It's certainly more of an advantage than being a 6'1 guard.
Yep. There it is.
Yeah, so I'm
easier to score.
Is that not right?
No, it's true.
Okay. So my only point in saying that is that Jalen, from the time he's gotten the league, he wasn't a finished product. He had to work to get to where he's at right now as a passer, and he's more than serviceable as a passer. Can you go into every game and say, you know what, if we need to throw the ball 35, 40 times every week, we can do that and still be effective with Jalen? Maybe not at this point. Maybe not. Doesn't mean he'll never get there, but you can't have watched Jalen play the quarterback position from the time he's gotten in and not see that he's a much better quarterback today than he was 4 years ago, right? Like, even though some of the numbers aren't necessarily the same, he is a better, more confident thrower of the football now than he has been in the past.
What player doesn't have a deficiency? And that's right. That's the thing when you talk about this elite conversation, we're expecting this guy not to have any inadequacy at all. We want him to be this perfect brand. But the team has recognized, okay, he has a deficiency in down the field. Maybe he is the 6'1 and can't see over the line. Let us help him, and we can win Super Bowls like that. And that's okay, because there's a bunch of guys. Kurt Warner, I played catcher Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner can't throw the ball past 40 yards, but he got it up in time. So you're going to blame him for being a Hall of Fame type of quarterback because he couldn't throw it far? Like, there's always something that you can point to. As long as that guy can figure out a way to win games, that should be the most important.
Listen, I hate comparing him to Troy Aikman. I really do.
Because you've been anti-Aikman.
He's a Dallas Cowboy. Well, I've always said Aikman was an overrated quarterback.
Now you do.
I've never changed that. He's an overrated quarterback. But the point of the matter is that being elite is subjective.
Yeah, sure.
I will take Troy Aikman's career over Dan Marino's career. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Dan Marino would take Troy Aikman's career over Dan Marino's career. So you can have all the attributes you want. When you're the quarterback, your number one task is to win football games. And they got to the biggest game, and Jalen, in those games, usually plays his best football.
Yeah.
I could see if he gets in those big games and he shrinks and somebody else has to carry him to victory or what have you. But in the postseason, we know the two Tampa Bay games, didn't play well in those games. But look at all the other games in the Super Bowls on the biggest stages. He has performed, and he's won. Like, I don't know how that doesn't at least put him in that category with those guys. I wouldn't necessarily say he's better than Josh Allen. He's better than Lamar Jackson. I'm just simply saying, if those guys are elite, how come Jalen isn't elite as well? Why isn't he in that? He should be separate from some of these other guys that we try to put him with, the
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, yeah. Justin Herbert. All
Trevor
those guys.
Lawrence.
Like, he's won every year. He's been in the postseason every year. He's gone to 2 Super Bowls, and he was a Super Bowl MVP. Like, why hasn't he earned the right to be in that group with those other 4 guys?
I hear what you're saying. I think what we saw in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl, though he played great, it is a play that he could match in a regular season. He could play that way more often. And that's what I said at the end of the year. For the first time in those 2 games, I saw a future of him that is a quarterback that during the regular season can do more than he's done. Right? Like, he can be a better player than he's been in the regular season.
Well, I agree with that. There's a bunch of misplays that Jalen has, and that's coming with reading the defense, knowing how to get it out in time, and figuring out a way to see over the line. There's a bunch of things that he can grow. But you know what I love about this conversation? Is that this provides fire for Jalen Hurts. Because there's going to be a contingency of people in Philadelphia, no matter what Jalen Hurts does, is still going to be doubtful of him. And therefore, a player like Jalen that has overcome so much adversity and is used to showing up in these situations normally has a chip on his shoulder, and it causes him to have more fire. And I think that's what this quarterback is and who he is as a person.
So thank you, Jack and Spike, for the big year out of Jalen next year.
Prove it here, some are saying.
Yeah, thank you, Jack.
I did it to Bryce Harper during the regular season.
And I'm no
year.
Phony, right? Yeah. So I'll be the first to admit, I was not a Jalen fan. He won me over. Mm. Like, he won me over. He won me over with his play, with his consistent winning. Because you know what I had to say to myself? If I was Jalen's teammate, I would love him. Like, I would love being on that team. That's what I love about Donovan, right? Like, we won a lot of football games. We won a lot of football games when Donovan McNabb was our quarterback. We won a lot of football games. Now, we didn't win the ultimate game.
Uh-huh. Right.
We didn't win the ultimate game. But that's how winning the ultimate game changes the perception. And it should change the perception when you win the ultimate game.
Well, I also think with Jalen, like, comparing
him. It should change the perception of you when you actually win the game.
What are you going to say, Jason?
If I'm the third receiver, dude, you got to throw the ball to me, buddy. Yeah. Like, hold on. Wait a minute. I'm Jahan Dotson. I'm like, hey, progression, buddy. First, second, third. Yeah. I'm right here, buddy.
So see, almost having the Super Bowl.
Listen, he's on that side of the ball. So yeah,
Hey, listen.
I was speaking more of a defensive player.
Don't play well, and you don't play well, you don't put up numbers. You're not back next year. You think Garner Johnson woke up the other day and was like, "Dude, I'm Super Bowl champ." You think I'm going to be here?
Right.
He isn't here.
Right.
Like, you want to play well. You want production. So
I agree.
And production leads to winning.
I think usually it does, and that's where this
most
whole thing gets. Gets blurry for me as I look at, you mentioned Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield's playoff numbers are incredible. Like, they are. I was looking
except
at him
except for the win-loss column.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
How incredible could they be? He's played in, what, 2 playoff games? How many has he really played?
But they're great. Like, Josh Allen's playoff numbers are great. But when we talk about production, and this is where the winning thing is, like, Jalen played great in the NFC Championship game, played great in the Super Bowl. Got bailed out in Green Bay, got bailed out against the Rams.
I think bailed out
in Green Bay.
Bailed
is a
out
bit
is
over.
Strong.
Bailed
yeah.
out the Rams.
And
Rams,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Green Bay, I don't think he was bailed out.
In that situation, he, because he is on such a good team, he is given the opportunity to play in an NFC Championship game, to play in a Super Bowl. Like, that's where the production part of it. You look at Dan Marino's, like, playoff production is great. Like it just is. So
I do agree with you on that, but Patrick Mahomes, while he had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, but he also has the best head coach of all time. So other quarterbacks,
Stop hating. Who's that? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's like other quarterbacks are also afforded the ability to not be perfect every week. And I know you're not saying he has to be perfect every week, but we see Jalen every week, every snap, multiple times. We don't see Josh Allen every week. We don't see Lamar Jackson every week. So I think Jalen's warts stick out more to us than these other elite quarterbacks that we only see 2-3 times a year.
Sure. So Baker Mayfield all-time, 105.9 QB
rating.
I'm just curious how many games. That's number one. Patrick Mahomes is number two with 105.4. Matt Stafford, number five, 102.3. Josh Allen, number six, 101.7. That's passer rating. So it's just like there is this push and pull of how good the rest of the team is, giving quarterbacks an opportunity to be great. That is the thing I'll say about
Baker. Baker stunk until he had a Hall of Fame wide receiver on one side.
Right, but
I mean, he has talent in Tampa.
Yeah, but he is very good at this point. I mean, Baker Mayfield's a
I think you overrate Baker. Yeah, like Baker's a nice quarterback.
He puts up a lot of numbers because their defense stinks. They put up numbers. Nobody's looking at Tampa as anything significant if Baker was that good.
I don't think people are afraid of Baker either.
No.
Baker completed 71% of his passes this year for 4,500 yards and 41 touchdowns.
How many games they win?
What's Baker
10 wins.
I, like, they won 10 games?
Yes.
With all those numbers and yards?
Well, I don't know. Jalen won 11 games last year.
Here's the thing about stats.
No, I'm just saying,
when it comes to passing stats, they always tell lies. The reason I say they tell lies is because when you're losing ball games, you have to come back and pass.
Well, wins and losses also tells lies, too.
Well, 10 and 7 with 17 games is not.
More.
I agree.
But they also don't tell the whole story.
Yeah, they don't tell the whole story.
We agree.
But they tell the biggest part of the story.
He had three good games in the regular season.
Who?
Jalen.
Oh, that's absurd. That's absurd.
Oh, my God.
He had three good games. I mean, let's just be honest here. Like, we're going to have this conversation. He had maybe three or four bad games.
I can't take him, man.
Yeah, three good games.
Bengals, Steelers. What's the third one?
The Rams, he played really well.
Yeah, Rams game.
He was good against Baltimore.
They scored 13 points in the fourth quarter of the Baltimore game.
Oh, my gosh. Ain't no love in the heart of city.
See what I deal with every day?
We're back.
Still no.
Oh, you love it.
We're back.
Don't you feed the trolls. Don't you feed the trolls.
Oh,
see what
goodness,
I deal with
man,
every day.
Look what I deal with every day.
Unbelievable.
Jesus.
15 days until opening day.
Unbelievable.
No Eagles news, by the way.
No, all right. So we are 10 minutes away from a free agency officially beginning.
Yes.
The Eagles have not agreed to terms with any players in the NFL that weren't already on their team. Perhaps at 4 o'clock we'll have some news. So we will be back.
Save
in
us,
time
Howie.
To yeah, give us something, Howie. Like one thing.
Tired of yelling about Jalen being elite.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but you know
what? Isaiah Rodgers won't hurt me though.
I believe. Oh, did it?
The Isaiah Rodgers won't hurt me.
We'll get to it in a minute. Yeah. We'll get to it. I think that was the most calm is Jalen elite conversation in the history of WIP.
I think it was nuanced. Well,
that's because Jason is here.
Yep. He's got that calm voice.
And he doesn't bring the voices that we bring.
Right.
He's not
right.
Yelling at everybody here. Yes. He's explaining himself.
I did tell Jason that Jalen needed to go win the Super Bowl. And he told me no. And Jalen went and won the Super Bowl MVP. We did have that debate.
All
right. Oh, yeah, right on Radio Row.
Yep.
We did.
Yeah.
He threw for 118 yards in the Baltimore game, one passing touchdown. Let's relax here.
You and your passing yards.
118 yards?
I'm curious, did he have any rushing touchdowns, or are you just ignoring that part?
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care about the rushing touchdowns.
We are at the Birds Town Hall in McGurk's and Royer's for Jason Avant with us. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Frank.
Get one rushing touchdown.
Get off my lawn.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let's talk to Alex right now. Alex, good morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Alex.
Hey, I'm going to give you an analogy, man. You know how it is when you got a girlfriend, she's the greatest, and then you break up with her, and all of a sudden, to your new girlfriend, she was the worst in the world.
That sounds familiar.
It's a coping mechanism, man. Of course, people are going to trash these players because they're gone now, so now you don't need them, so now, okay, let's move on.
It's kind of like how the Sixers didn't need Jimmy Butler. I remember we did a. Well, let me tell you, Alex. Let me tell you something.
Don't compare the Eagles to the Sixers.
No, but
honestly, it's about
Philadelphia sports fans. We did a poll right after Jimmy was out, Tobias stayed, and Horford was in. Do you like the swap? And the majority of people said yes. I like the swap. Horford in, Butler out. You know why? Because at that moment, Horford was the Sixer and Butler wasn't. People misread it sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. For me, we knew this was coming. I mean, Howie pretty much told us. He said, look, it's not going to look the same. It's not going to look the same. So we won the Super Bowl. I'm giving them a little bit of a pass because of that. Because, okay, I'm living off that high right
well,
now.
Well, they deserve that.
Yeah. So I'm giving them a little bit of a pass. Now, I think next year, I think we as fans, we set in that bar high. We went to the Super Bowl. We won another one. And that's all right for the fans, but the team realistically can't afford all of these guys. That's correct. I mean, if they didn't have a salary cap, man, every team would be balling out every year. But we can't do that. So next year, I think it's just a little bit of a reset because they're going to see what these young boys can do. They're going to probably bring in some more guys and see if they can play up to the standard. And then the following year, I say we get a Super Bowl again.
Alex, the most reasonable call.
It was very rational.
Very reasonable. All right, Alex, give me a great answer from the world of fiction, because obviously Howie's got a plan. Whether it works or not, he's got a plan. Who had a plan in a movie, a show, or a book?
Kaiser Sose.
Who's that?
Had an awesome plan.
He said Kaiser Sose.
Oh, Kaiser Sose. I already heard. We already said that one. Give me a different answer. I thought he said Isaac.
Who's that?
Isaac Sose?
Clint Eastwood in Escape from Alcatraz.
You got it, buddy. Alex, appreciate the call. All right, let's welcome.
He can't hear.
No, I thought
it's unbelievable.
Really,
I know.
Can't hear.
Especially
Kaiser
when
Sose,
Kaiser Sose
he said, who's that?
That was Joe's answer today.
Well, Kaiser
he's
and
the
Isaac.
One who said Kaiser Sose.
They sound a little alike.
Still couldn't hear.
A little bit alike. There's no mistaking the voice, the diction, the greatness. Ladies and gentlemen, at McGurk's here in Rochefort, let's hear it for Mr. Merrill Reese. Merrill, good morning, sir.
Thank you. How about Steve McQueen of The Great Escape?
Well, that's another one right there.
That's a great answer.
That's another one. By the way, speaking of thank you, Merrill, let me start with this. Before we get to next year's team and all this, thank you to you for a great Super Bowl broadcast. Like, obviously, what the main thing was the Eagles team nailing it on the field. But that call at the end of the game, the broadcast, you nailed it again, Merrill. Is that nerve-wracking? Let me ask you a question here. When the game was winding down, and you knew this was going to be a different kind of ending. This wasn't like the ball's up in the air, maybe a Patriot catches it, maybe
around.
An Eagle, right? Like, it wasn't – this was like going to be a kneel down.
Yeah, it was 34 to nothing.
Like, you had the two-minute warning to know, okay, I'm going to have a kneel down to end the game. Were you concerned it would be hard to nail it? Because you still nailed it.
See, I don't think in those terms. Yeah. I don't think, what am I going to say? I just say it.
Yeah.
And, of course, in Super Bowl 52 – The Eagles had the – it didn't end until the ball hit the ground. So it was over, and then it all just came out. I will admit that this game – I have to tell you, first of all, we go back to the Rams game, and I made the mistake. When Saquon Barkley scored, I said, there's the dagger. And I didn't know – Cindy, I don't look at my phone during the game, but Cindy was texting me, stop it. Stop it. She hates when I do that.
Cindy was right. She
was right. Yeah. They could have lost it on one more, you know.
Thank you, Jalen Carter.
But anyhow, you go into a game like this, I'm not going to say anything until it's really over. But when I did know it was over was when they came out in the second half and Kansas City couldn't do anything on the first possession. I mean, Andy Reid had a three-hour halftime show to figure out something to do.
Right.
And he couldn't.
Yeah.
He couldn't do a thing.
That was stunning.
And I said right there, this game is over.
Yeah, I felt the same
thing. They don't have an
answer. Yeah.
So I did have a little bit of time to mull it around in my head and know which direction I was going to go.
Yeah.
But when it comes out, it comes out.
So, Merrill, I've been around you enough through the years. And, of course, you can join us, Merrill, with us this entire hour. Either be here at McGurk's in Rochefort or join us on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. Merrill, I've heard you say many times shortly before a season starts when someone says, you know, what do you think of the Eagles this year and how far are they going to go? And I've heard you say many times, we don't know yet who's going to be healthy and who's going to be injured. Hard to predict any of that and hard to therefore predict the overall team. And I feel like there's a similar thing right now as it relates to even preparing for September. We don't know who's going to be on the team. We know most of it, but there's 10 or 15 guys. How do you feel right now, given what they had done, and now obviously have lost some pretty hefty figures from that group, and it looks like probably going to lose more? What's going through your mind about this transition?
You know, let me tell you an interesting story. The day before they left for Arizona for Super Bowl 57, I was sitting in the locker room with Jalen Hurts, and we were having a conversation, and he said to me, Merrill, this is going to be a great team for a long time. And I said, Jalen, let me tell you something. Look around the locker room, because you will never play with this team again. You've got to play next Sunday like it's the last game you're ever going to play, because these teams change from year to year. Yeah. Going back 100 years when the Eagles lost to the Raiders, I got on the plane the next day expecting everybody to be, you know, down. And the guys were up because they said, we've been here. We know what it's like. We're going to get back there and win next year. Well, next year didn't come for 24 years.
Right.
So you don't know. You
and
don't
that was
really
before
know.
Free agency and the salary
sure.
cap. I mean, the league design is to hurt the greatest teams.
See, I know this. This is a great organization.
Yeah.
Nick knows exactly what he's doing. As a matter of fact, I was down at a reception Friday night before the game, and Nick and I were speaking, and he said, you know what? We're going to win this game. He really believed. He said, we are going to win this game. And I have a feeling that Andy Reid, deep down, knew that they were outmanned.
Wow.
I believe he knew that going into that game. He just looked at the roster, looked at strengths,
sure.
looked at weaknesses. He knew. So, but going into a season, you never really know, because I did make the prediction before the season. Mike and I were at an event, and they asked us at the end to pick a record, and I picked 14-3.
Look at you, Merrill. Look at you.
Okay, but that was just luck.
Sure.
I knew they were a very, very good team going into the season. I knew they were a very complete season. I had a couple of things I've rethought. I used to think that this team isn't physical enough during the preseason, that they've got to tackle to the ground, do more of what Dan Campbell did in Detroit. And I also felt that you've got to use some regulars in the preseason games just to get the timing down. Well, they didn't. No. Dan Campbell did. And then when Dan Campbell played Washington at the end of the season, they had 18 guys on injured reserve, and the Eagles, with the exception of N'Kobe Dean, are relatively healthy.
That's right.
So they're doing it right. You won't ever hear me say they should be hitting more during the preseason or playing regulars. They've got it right. It's a new age. This is not the Dick Vermeil years when they had 120 guys reenacting the Bataan Death March. It's a different world.
But the thing that's amazing, Merrill, is it does feel like he has changed the hitting approach. That Nick, and they told us after last season, he told us that he was thinking about adjusting things the way that he practiced in training camp, for example, thinking about changing the way they approached their practice.
But it still
wasn't
extreme, and they still didn't play anyone in the preseason.
It wasn't extreme, but he talked those players into, maybe didn't even talk them into, convinced them that hitting was what was best, and practicing on Monday was better than see you Wednesday like Andy Reid used to do it. Mm-hmm. He has convinced these players to go the hard path, to do the extra step, and it's paid massive dividends.
Right, but the extra step doesn't involve all-out hitting.
Right. Yeah,
the extra
it's smart.
Step is done very, very intelligently, and this is what they did. So when you say, what do I think about next season, I think that Nick knows what he's doing. I think they have a great quarterback, a top-five quarterback. I felt that the way from the day he came into the league, and I stood there in the middle of the field watching with Doug Peterson, and Doug Peterson said to me, this guy can make every pass you have to make. He's got an exceptional arm. He's got great running ability, and he's a great kid. He's an intelligent kid. Nick Saban said that. He said he's one of the greatest kids he's ever coached, and I liked him when I saw him at Alabama, at Oklahoma, and I still believe the Eagles are very, very fortunate to have Jalen Hurts. You know, I'm not comparing quarterbacks. I will only say that the last three times he has matched up with Patrick Mahomes, he's outplayed him.
Yeah, no, that is.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's correct.
Welcome back. It is 94 WIP's Birds Town Hall, broadcasting from McGurk's in Royers Ford, sponsored by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Join McGurk's Madness for great specials all tournament long. All right, so alongside Hugh Douglas, I'm Joe Gilio. Elliot Shore Parks at the Surfside Free Agency Desk today, awaiting an Eagles move. And joining us now for the next hour, Ross Tucker, who is a big part of this station. We get to have on a lot during the season. But I believe this is the first time, well, first time in Pennsylvania. We had Ross at the Super Bowl live, but now we're back home with Ross live. Ross, how are you, man?
I am fantastic. This is amazing. I live for this, seeing all the Kelly Green out there. You know, I never get a chance to be around fans when I'm doing the preseason games or doing radio, so it's awesome to actually see the people and see everybody excited, including my guy Tony over there. All right, Hugh.
I see that.
And Joe, I need some feedback here.
Yeah, what do we got?
Tony from the Lehigh Valley just handed me this and asked me to sign these, okay? He's got to be selling that,
are those
right?
Ross Tucker cards? Those
yeah, nice. But there's like 20 of them. There's no chance
can I give you my philosophy on that? Like, yeah. Listen, I'm not mad at anybody hustling, but that's a lot. That's a lot. With those, Ross, I usually go, like, when somebody gives me, like, 6 or 7 cards to sign, I usually do 2, maybe 3. But in this case, because you have so many, I would probably do 4.
So he's cool. Fair. He's cool with however many I sign. I just have not. I've never seen someone like the preparation
like
and the
one.
Effort is
Ross. The ones with the multi, this one right here.
Yeah.
Oh, like I'm saying it like everybody can see me, but it's a rookie card. Well, it's a card that has 3 different poses that he's doing. I would definitely sign that one.
Well, thank you. Anyway.
Have you ever seen that many Ross Tucker cards at once?
Yes.
Yeah, because I have them. You know, it's funny when I was a player. And they first had cards in me. I knew I would want them for like later in life. Yeah. So there, every team has like a couple guys that are really into collecting. I don't mean players. I mean fans.
Okay.
And they, you know, we land on the plane. They're there. Like the guy's name was Bobby for the Bills, right? And I had a deal with Bobby that I'd give him some game worn merch
for
after every game, and he would give me like 20 cards at a time of me. Because as a player, people might not know this. For any player, right? I don't know, Hugh, if you're the same. New pair of gloves and cleats every game, right? Every game, new pair of gloves and cleats. So I would wear those the next week in practice. And then by the next game, you have a new pair of gloves and cleats. So then the one from the week before, I would give to this Bobby guy. And he'd give me like 30 of my cards. So I have like 400 of my cards still like this.
Cool.
Just because I knew I would need them at some point. Hugh doesn't have any. Hugh has one probably somewhere
no,
hanging
you know
out.
What, you yeah. know what?
I don't
Ross,
have any either. It's okay.
I have.
No, actually, I think I have one when I was in Little League.
I have every card that was ever made. Well, I had every card at one point that was made that I when I had that about years ago. It's like I got like 6 or 7 of these.
I might have had a Hugh Douglas card back in the day.
I think but most people nice. Here probably did.
And I still have some cards in a box somewhere. I keep them because it's pretty cool. Because now, like my son Harper, he doesn't believe it's me. Like he thinks because like that Hugh had hair, and he's looking like, no, that's not you.
There's no way you were
yeah,
that guy.
Yeah, he's looking like, no, that's not you.
We got to figure out, Joe, which Eagles players are going to have cards after
well,
this year.
Well, that's a good point. Well, I need
Cooper DeJean.
I need some players on the team they signed maybe today to have some cards. All right, Ross, let's talk about what's happened so far
yeah.
and what will come here. All right, Ross, what's your level of concern moving into next season about the defense after all the defections? And I know a lot of them were expected. Milton and Josh, for example. But the CJGJ one was not. Darius Slay, maybe, but I don't think everyone would think top of mind he was going to be gone. How concerned are you the defense is going to take a step back after all they've lost?
Well, let's start with the fact that we don't have the complete picture yet, right? Obviously, everybody knows that, but it's March 12th. There's a lot of time before they actually play a game. I will say I was not expecting both Slay and Isaiah Rogers. You know, if they were going to move on from Slay, I guess I would have thought that they would have gotten the Rogers deal done. In fairness, their two best corners are Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. And so for the third corner, I don't think that they thought Isaiah Rogers was that much better than Kelee Ringo to guarantee him $7.5 million, right? Like, I think they thought – those guys are a toss-up. Ringo's an ascending player, year 3. We don't need to do that. I have a lot to say about the Gardner-Johnson move.
So right? just real quick, because what you said I thought was interesting. I do agree that them not paying Isaiah Rogers is surprising. But what makes it even more surprising is last year they had a lot of opportunity to get Kelee on the field, and they consistently went to Isaiah Rogers. And my worry is Vic Fangio, and I've only covered it from 1 year. It seems like he has his guys, and those are his guys. And it felt like Isaiah Rodgers last year was his guy, and Keeley was not.
And I think, Elliot, you know, if you go back to the preseason, which, as we all know, is the most important part of the season if you're watching on television.
You don't got to tell me.
Miss broadcast. Yeah.
If you go back to the preseason, those guys were battling.
Yeah.
Those guys were battling for that spot. I thought it was really close. I think if you look at it, like Oren Burks over Jeremiah Trotter Jr., because of how good this team was and because of the season they were having, I think in any of those situations, they were basically a tie or close. They were going to go with the vet. So Rodgers would get the playing time over Ringo, or Oren Burks got the playing time over Trotter. I don't know if they're convinced that Oren Burks is better than Trotter. I think that they thought for that situation.
Yeah.
But now Trotter in year two, Ringo in year three. The Gardner-Johnson thing, I think we have to start with this. This will be his fifth year in a row on a new team.
Yep.
His fifth. And do we all agree, everybody, Hugh, Joe, he's a really good football player?
Yes.
Really good.
With a nose for the ball.
Mm. Yep. Okay. So if a really good football player is on his a new team for the fifth year in a row, I think there has to be some conversation about why that would be.
But do you think it's maybe he's not a really good football player? Because not a lot of really good football players struggle to find a team and a team to pay him.
We all have seen he's a really good football player. I think everybody wants to date him and not
want to
marry him.
That just sounds so bad, though, Ross.
I know, but I think people are concerned about
too much.
Him.
The laugh.
I don't know if he talks too
it's
much.
The laugh.
I don't know what it is, but I think there's something to that, right?
So I think that's fair. But be it coincidence or not, Ross, everywhere he leaves doesn't do as well after him. I mean, the Saints have not been as good since he left. Now, I'm not saying he's the only reason. The Eagles' defense went from second in the NFL to 30th when he walked out the door. He came back. They're back to number one. Again, I know he's not the only reason. And the Lions, while they had a great year, 2 years ago, he made a play on Baker Mayfield in the divisional round, helped them get to the title game. This year, without him and a lot of injuries, they got torched. There's also something to me that everywhere he is, the team is really good. And then when he leaves, they fall off on defense.
Right, and I've been listening. I know you guys already talked about the financial part of it, and they got to pay Jalen Carter. And I don't know how it would have worked out for CJGJ after they pay Reed Blankenship, right? Like,
yeah.
That might not have gone well. And all of those things are a factor. If I'm being honest, the part about it that is most intriguing to me is, I guess I'm surprised they didn't get more. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's focusing on him not being here. They have their reasons why he's not here. Maybe they love Sidney Brown. I love Sidney Brown watching him on special teams. I'm excited to watch Sidney Brown play. So maybe they love Sidney Brown. Maybe a lot of it's the financial. All of those things we can have the conversation of. But to get traded for Kenyon Green and a fifth-round pick, that's the one where – and listen, we know this Howie Roseman. He might be the best trader.
Yep.
Forget GM. He might be the best trader we've ever seen. So we have to assume that this was the most he could get for Gardner Johnson. If that's the case, then the NFL is saying loud and clear to the rest of us something about Gardner Johnson that we don't see when we watch him play, that's the most they could get. Because here's the thing about Green. I know it's part of its money, but he's been terrible. I'm like Mr. AFC South on CBS, okay? I do a lot of AFC South games. I did multiple Houston Texans games. He's been bad. So they have a lot of faith in Stoutland, obviously. I think they want to have somebody else in the mix against Steen if Becton leaves. But his salary's guaranteed. It's $3 million. You know, if the money was the biggest factor, I guess I'm a little bit surprised they took on a guy with $3 million fully guaranteed that might stink.
Well, for Ross, I have a question. Like, because obviously former offensive lineman, you watched him quite a bit, it seems. I'm viewing him as this is basically a rookie coming in. He's younger than some people in the draft right now. It's 3 years, but he was hurt for one of them. Do you think there's been signs in the NFL where he just maybe can't cut it at this level? Or do you think it is just like coaching, injuries, that type of thing? Well, it's a tough question.
Yeah, no, I think he has physical ability, and I've seen it in the run game.
Okay.
He has struggled in one-on-one pass pro. He has struggled with recognition, you know, like knowing where the blitz is coming from, knowing the stunt, all those things. But I think you make a good point, Elliot. He was 20 years old when he got drafted, right? So imagine you're talented enough to be a top 15 pick when you're 20 years old. That guy murdered people in college, right? So he's that physically gifted. The way the Eagles operate is they're always planning. On this show, we primarily talk about 2025. The Eagles don't operate that way. They have one eye on 2025, one eye on 2026, because all their best players are under contract for the next couple years. And I think they look at the financial part of it, but they look at Green as a distressed asset. This is basically going to be this year's Jeff Stoutland project.
Yeah, Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, but not only Mekhi Becton. If you go back to last year, Elliot, Darian Kennard, last couple preseason games, I was like, holy crap.
They held him all year, by the way.
He can play.
Yeah.
That guy can play. He's probably the swing guy this year, the swing tackle this year. So what does that tell you? There's another guy that was a fifth-round pick that didn't work out in Kansas City for whatever reason. He gets to Philly. Stoutland changes up some technique things. And then think about like when they cut Stoll. Right? They cut other guys that were playing so that they could keep Kennard on the roster.
They cut Paris Campbell a bunch of times.
So that they could keep Kennard on the roster. So they obviously really like him. So Kenyon Green is basically an in Stoutland we trust situation. Yeah. And also, I don't think they want to hand Steen anything. I think they want Steen to have to earn it.
They also may have done a lot of work on him then, because that was the draft that they traded one of their picks for AJ. They had two first-round picks, right? They traded one for AJ, and they used the other on Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis was the 13th pick. Kenyon Green was the 15th pick. Jahan Dotson was the 16th. It seems to me like they had two first-round picks in that draft, Ross. They did a lot of work on this guy.
Yes.
Maybe they were going to take him then. I mean, that was the range they were drafting. They had two picks before they swapped one out for AJ. Let's take a phone call here, and then I want to ask Ross about where the Eagles roster now today, like at this moment, stacks up, because we know they were the best when the season ended. Are they still there? Has the gap been closed? Art is in Philly. What's up, Art?
You, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Art. Art, what are you feeling on the CJGJ trade?
I think it's ridiculous. And I don't care, you guys talking about five different teams, this, that, and the other way. All I know is the guy's a great leader. When somebody went after Jalen Hurts, he was the first guy on the field. The big gagoots at left tackle, he should have been over there knocking the guy down. And furthermore, I don't think much of Vic Fangio. I don't. Every game that you look at, down the stretch, we got to make plays and in our end zone to close out the game. That shouldn't happen. Come on, he's a bend break. I don't like him. You could have him. Give him back to Florida or whatever he came from.
Well, I will keep Vic.
Firing hot here.
Vic, I'm with you on the CJ thing. I wanted to keep him. I don't like the trade. I'm gonna stick with Vic Fangio, though.
Art, pretty good. I can't remember. Do they have the number one defense in the NFL this year or not?
I that sounds vaguely familiar.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
they did. You wonder why some of us have a bad reputation.
Art, I love you, buddy.
Respect your elders, Ross Tucker.
So the Vic Fangio thing caught me off guard. CJGJ, though, I'm with him. I didn't want to make that trade.
Hey, you know what the problem is about saying what he said about Fangio? It kind of invalidates everything he said before that. It's like, hey, you made a good argument.
Send him back to Miami.
They didn't want him down there.
I know.
Think about that. Think about the Dolphins right now. He was too hard on them. I'd be, like, embarrassed if I was a Dolphins fan right now.
Well, they should be, because that didn't work out. All right, Ross, let's talk about the roster. And I know we're just in wave one of this, free agency, draft, eventually trades, all that. But when the season ended, when they walked off the field or walked onto the field in the Super Bowl, they were the best roster. Every single person
easily
said it. Even those that were picking the Chiefs, right? Because we were all going back and forth that week. It was like, well, the Chiefs have Mahomes and Reed, but the Eagles are the best roster. How much has that gap been closed? Do you still view them, even with all these defections, as the best? Or is it now like, hey, they're still good, really good, but they've come back to the pack?
Well, right now, as it stands, they're not as good as they were last year. Remember this, though. We got the draft coming up. And I would not be surprised if they sign multiple guys either in the next couple days that have already been released by other teams, or wait until after the draft when it no longer counts against compensatory picks. Let me just tell you what they're not going to do. They're not signing a guy from another team. I would be surprised. I've seen the Justin Reed reports. Elliot, you've had good posts about that. I would be very surprised if they signed somebody from another team and offset one of these compensatory picks.
So you mean
right
now, like a regular free agent, not a guy that was just cut?
Right. So they have. So people don't know how it works, right? Right now, the Eagles have third, fourth, and sixth round picks coming to them next year for losing Rodgers, Milton Williams, and Josh Sweat. If they sign somebody else, it totally offsets one of those. I can't remember. Elliot, do you know, would it offset the highest one or the lowest
so
one?
Is it based on money?
It's based
on
money.
It's based on money. So I think, like, they're not going to sign anyone that'll offset the Milton Williams deal.
Right.
But let's just say they handed out a $100 million contract. I believe that would offset Milton.
And okay, got it.
So right. I think a good way, Ross, to look at this is Isaiah Rodgers got $8 million guaranteed. That was a six-round compensatory pick. I think that's roughly the neighborhood you're probably looking at of a signing.
Like, that they would consider. I think, like, they're more likely.
Yeah, released players. 100%.
But here's the thing. Released players, because of that,
they don't count.
They don't count, but more teams are interested in them.
Of course, yeah.
Jonathan Allen to the Vikings.
Yeah.
You know, Joey Bosa to the Bills. More teams want them because of the fact that they don't count. They've come back to the pack, but let me just say this, okay? Is it crazy if I say that arguably the five best defensive players for the Eagles from this past season are still on the team?
I don't think it's crazy. So, I mean,
without question.
Yeah. Jalen Carter.
Yep, Zach number
Vaughn,
one.
Zach Vaughn.
Easily the top two. Okay.
The two young corners.
Yep.
And then Nolan.
Correct.
Yeah, and maybe Reed. I think Reed was pretty good this year. Reed Blankenship.
It seems like they might pay him,
too. He's not a top five guy.
I mean,
I wouldn't say he played
every snap for one of the best secondaries in the league. Like, Milton Williams, I think, was very good, but Milton Williams was a part-time player.
Would you put Reed over any of the other five we talked about?
No. I'm saying Reed would, after those group, I think Reed's in that conversation.
So my whole thing is they have the entire offense back except for right guard. I love Mekhi, but I don't think he's that much different than Tyler Seen, if I'm being honest.
Do you think his play gets overrated? Because sometimes I feel like we talk about Mekhi like he was an all-pro, Pro Bowl talent last year. And I think because expectations were low, he was so much better. But I think he was, like, definitely above average. But he was not on the level, in my opinion, of the other four.
He's the worst of the five.
Yes.
And he got, because of, it was such a surprise and a pleasant surprise.
Right.
And because he went from bust to average, that was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the season would have been that different if Tyler Steen played right guard.
I agree.
I don't think it would have been that different. And this is a theme for the Eagles, right? Whether it's Sidney Brown or Tyler Steen, it's time for these guys in year three to play. So anyway, to your point, Joe, your question. They have the entire offense coming back, essentially, and their top five defensive players. Milton was great. Sweat was great. But, I mean, what are we talking about here? You know, do I wish they were still on the team? Yeah. They weren't even their top five defensive players,
if you
really go through it.
Yeah.
They weren't. I mean, Hugh, you've been on this. You don't seem to think what's happened the last day or so is going to seriously change their team next year.
I mean, because I think the biggest cog in this blade that I talked about was the fact that you have Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter made it life for a lot of people a whole lot easier. Milton Williams is a guy that ate off of the fact
Milton Williams should give Jalen 10%.
Like Ross.
I wonder what his reaction would be to that if Jalen asked.
And Ojomo's next contract.
And not only that, Zach Bond, you found a diamond in the rough with Zach Bond. Zach Bond played in a way where he didn't have to do, not diminishing anything that he brought to the table because he played well. But he didn't have to do a whole lot. He didn't have to take on guards coming up to the second level. You know why? For the most part, Jalen Carter ate up all of that in the middle. He ate up all of that. Zach Bond made a play one time where the guard came off late. I can't remember which game it was. He came off so late that he was able to get underneath him and get to the running back before the running back got started because Jalen Carter is that disruptive. These are – these are pieces to a saw. Like I said, and when one piece goes, you just add another piece in.
But you have to add the right piece. Like, you, I understand your point here.
Smart piece.
2 years ago, Jalen Carter was here, and they stunk. Jalen Carter isn't a turnkey, not yet, at least in his NFL career, turnkey. You have a top-five defense because you have him.
You know what?
Now, if next year they're top-five again, then I will say we're moving in that direction.
You know what Jalen Carter has realized is that he is a grown-ass man among boys. Like, Jalen Carter is a grown-ass.
So he grew up, and now you expect it again?
He's a silverback.
Well, that's
he's a silverback.
I like that.
Gorilla.
I can't believe how many snaps he plays.
I know.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm shocked by that.
Here's the thing that's so interesting. I would think that they, because they're so young, D-tackle and D-end, I would think that they would want to bring in vets, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially guys that got released. But it's like an all-time draft in terms of depth at D-tackle and D-end.
Feels like there's like 10 of them.
I don't think they're
going to
do it. I think they're going to say, hey, Nolan Smith, it might only be year three, but you're a young vet. They might say, Jalen Carter, year three, Jordan Davis, year four. You guys need to lead that room. It's your time. I think they might want those guys to lead that room, and then they might replenish them with draft picks because they probably will. But they got a lot of contracts coming due. And the way Nolan Smith finished the year and the way Jalen Carter played, those guys are both like over $30 million a year if they keep playing like that.
I think they view this as a little bit of a reset year. And like, they'll compete for a Super Bowl because of who they are, the talent they have. But I think they view this, to your point, Ross, as like, let's see what we have in a bunch of guys on our roster. Trotter, Keeley, maybe Steen, Kenyon Green. And then next year, next offseason, you can look and go, okay, like now we're back full in trying to win the Super Bowl.
I think that's probably accurate. All right, coming up on the other side, Ross Tucker hanging out with us. Ross, as he mentioned, he does the preseason game. So he sees some of these guys that now will be up in more prominent roles more than the rest of us. Let's get Ross's take on, are these guys ready? We'll go through the names of guys that could have a bit more role this year, a bigger role. Are they ready? 215-592-9494. It is 94 WIP's Birdstown Hall broadcasting from McGurk's in Royersford, sponsored by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh, I've got to read that. I forgot completely about Tasty Cake. Has a treat for every John. Peanut butter fans have candy cakes, the chocolate-coated cakes with a creamy layer of peanut butter inside. If you like the simple classics, they have the Crimpets, a light sponge cake topped with a rich icing. Donut lovers have options for days. You've got the frosted mini donuts, you got the powdered mini donuts, and how can you forget the delicious dipping stick flavors? I mean, there are so many unique, satisfying treats to choose from, but that's no surprise because it's Tasty Cake. Accept no substitutes.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's not just that, though. It's the Birds Town Hall. We're at McGurk's and Royers Ford, sponsored by NovaCare Rehabilitation. The power of physical therapy. There's nothing like opening day at McGurk's for the start of baseball season. Elliot over there at the Surfside Free Agency Desk. And joining us now, Ruben Frank on Free Agency Day. How you feeling, Rube?
Feeling good.
Yeah?
Feeling excited. I think Howie's going to sign a bunch of guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Howie tried to warn us, Rube,
yeah,
that this offseason was going to be different than previous offseasons. Did you foresee it being as quiet as it has been? I don't think I could have even imagined it would have been like this. Is it surprising to you?
No, actually not. I think I said on the pregame morning show on Monday before noon that Howie's not going to sign anybody. He's going to play the comp pick game. I think that's just the reality he's facing. He's thinking ahead to Jalen Carter's going to come up and Reed Blankenship's going to come up. And, guys, you can't lose. So I'm not shocked. Right now he's looking at a 3, a 4, and a 6 in the comp pick game. I don't think Gainwell's going to get him anything. But you add that to what he has. If he keeps drafting the way he has the last 4 years, he'll be able to replenish the roster. But it's a little bit risky.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if he does, right? And I think even if he does, it creates a question for next year. So how, like, given who they're likely relying on these missing positions, how do you think it affects their outlook for next year?
Well, not going to be as good. I mean, you're counting on you know, Trotter and Sidney Brown and Keely Ringo and, I mean, a lot of guys we just don't know about. And maybe they'll all pan out. You know, Will Shipley. I mean, there's so many guys. And the odds that they're all going to be the player that Eagles hope they're going to be is slim. So, look, they still have a ton of good players on both sides of the ball, especially on offense. But I don't know how they're going to be as good on defense with the losses that they've had. The odds that, you know, Keeley's going to play like Slay did, and that, you know, that Sidney Brown's going to play like CJ did, and on and on and on. I don't know how that's possible.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Are you disappointed in the Eagles' start to free agency, or do you understand it? 24.6 say I'm disappointed. 75.4 say I understand it. I think the biggest shock for me, actually, instead of the shock, so do you think, is this a cap issue or is it a cash issue? Is it that ownership is like, hey, we've reached how much cash we can spend, or are they limited from a cap standpoint?
Well, in CJ's case, and you know, the Eagles want people to think it's a cap. I mean, Jeff Lurie's got $8 billion in the bank. I mean, that's what the team's worth. He can't pay GJ, what's his base next year? $1.6 million?
Yeah. I think it's like $8 million cash, but it's a low number overall.
Yeah, so I think it's clear that there were non-football reasons that CJ's not here anymore. I think that's obvious. He's a really good player, and, you know, he's a high-variance player. He'll miss a tackle here and there, but, man, he brings so much energy, playmaking, attitude, edginess. Brings so much to the table. Well, you're not going to give him away like they did unless there's something else.
We got breaking news.
We have breaking news. Hit the sounder.
Breaking. Here we go.
Hit the sounder. Who did the Eagles sign, Elliot?
They lost somebody.
Oh,
yeah.
Again?
Free agent cornerback Darius Slay has reached agreement on a one-year, $10 million deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Slay officially gone.
There you go.
For 1 year.
One year, $10 million.
That's about exactly what I thought he would get.
Yeah, that was the number you threw out there.
Yep.
Yeah. Rube, do you think there was a number they would have brought Slay back at?
Yeah, I think there was a number. It might have been minimum wage.
Okay.
It might have been $3 million or something.
Right.
You know, if he didn't get the offer that he wanted, I think they would have been happy to have him back, you know, $3 or $4 million, but that wasn't going to happen. He's still a good player. I mean, he played well this year, and I don't know, there's a sense out there. He's not the player he was, but, man, when he was out there, and he got banged up here and there, but when he was out there, he was really good.
I do think he's the toughest player to replace that they've lost. I mean, I think
more than CJ?
I think Milton is.
Yeah, I think the number two cornerback, I get that Cooper and Quinyon are great, but they're going to play three corners quite a bit. And with how good Quinyon and Cooper are, like, teams are going to attack whoever that other corner is. So if it's Keeley, whoever it ends up being, we're going to find out pretty quickly. Like, Rube, I think you're correct. Slay played well last year.
Yeah.
So I think replacing a corner, especially if he's going to be on an island, like, that's the toughest one to replace for me.
Now, Rube, you said you think Milton Williams is the hardest one to replace. Now, that's interesting because I think we just talked to, you know, Jason Vaught was just up here, and it seems like most people are pretty confident in Ajomo taking that spot. So you think Milton's the hardest one to replace?
I like what I saw from Ojomo, but, yeah, I mean, that's a big leap. Milton did so many things so well and just got better and better. He's 25. I mean, he's still getting better. I mean, his best days are ahead of him, I think. And to see how he just improved year after year. More Ojomo. Look, you have talent there in the interior, and maybe he'll pan out. It's a big leap from Moro Jomo to Milton Williams, the way I see it. But he's got a shot.
I think the big question for all of us is, are we ready for this to be how it operates moving forward? Because they have so many big salaries, and those salaries are only going up, right? I mean, what we hear is this is in preparation for paying Jalen Carter, for paying Nolan Smith, if he continues to perform this way, is that If they are going to have big name play or big salary players at so many positions, we're going to go through this every year, right? I don't know how we can.
Not to this extent, though.
Right. It won't be to this extent.
How does it change then?
Well, there just won't be as many players who are going to hit the open market and get this kind of money who are free agents. You're just not going to have that many guys, in a year. And plus, the cap's going to go up. And then the thinking is, If your draft picks and these comp picks that they're stocking up on, if they turn into good players, these guys are going to be on their rookie deals, and they're going to be cheaper. So, I think the volume of guys leaving, they just don't have that many pending free agents the next couple of years.
So one thing, though, I will say is they have been into these one-year deals recently, and they're also not into in-season extensions. So I'll be like, how long are they
going to... Should they change that?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, how long? Because this feels like the same problem they're presenting themselves again and again. I think they need to move off this no in-season extension thing. Feels like an overreaction to when they did it last time, and maybe it wasn't great in the locker room, but a business is a business, and you're losing money, in my opinion.
I mean, both times Howie's done it, they've gone to the Super Bowl. So
right, but then you lose all the guys the next year.
I mean, they were going to lose most of them anyway.
Not if you sign Milton Williams in week four, or you offer McCoy. Like, they could have paid them for – they would have cost less early in the year than they would now.
But I don't necessarily agree with that, because here's the thing. What's the incentive for Milton Williams to sign early? Well, if you're not going to give him what he feels he's – going to be valued on the market, he may as well wait for free
agency. Well, I think the value is
he was security.
He was a third round pick. If you give him $20 million in the pocket right there, as opposed to waiting 15 more games, or not 15.
That's different. I thought you meant something like $15 million or $14 million.
No, I mean, you would sign him at
$20 million. Yeah, he may go ahead and take that.
Well, I think if you offer him, let's say, half of what he got in week four,
no way.
Well, but I mean, you would know more than me because you're a former player, but I just think there is value in not having to play 12 more games and getting the money in your pocket. Like, there is security, especially when he was a third-round pick.
Sure.
Spoken like a true GM.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the problem. It's called negotiating, and he has to agree to it.
No, I know.
He understands his value on the team, so it wasn't as if you're going to take snaps away from him. I understand getting money in your pocket as security, but he's betting on himself that he's worth twice that much if he hits the free agent market, and he was.
Ike, actually, I have a question for you about that in the locker room and the midseason extension, but I'll tell you what's not going to cost you $10.8 million or $20 million.
What's that?
That's if you go to Gaida. For new windows and doors,
wow.
Of course.
What a pro.
Yeah, come on.
Wow. That was slick.
You know.
Didn't see it coming.
It's always free agency bargains when you go Gaida. And, you know, I don't think you can finance a contract like this, but you can finance at Gaida in a great way. Interest-free financing when you go Gaida to replace your windows and doors. How about zero down, 0% interest for 36 months? And you say to me, that's not enough. And I say to you, how about 72 months? That's right.
In that voice?
Yes. That is a 6-year contract on your windows and doors. Low monthly payments, no interest, and they make your energy bills go down. They increase the value of your home. You get these expertly installed energy-efficient windows and doors. It's perfect. You go to Gaida, and not only do they have the interest-free financing, but they're going to give you 20% off every single one of their products. There are restrictions. There's a minimum purchase required. Financing is subject to credit approval. I can't go through all the details, but you know who can? Gaida. So go Gaida. Call 877-GO-GAIDA. They get you all of the information, and you can schedule a free in-home estimate or go to GoGaida.com. That's GoGuida.com. All right, Ike, as promised.
Yes.
So the Eagles have... In recent years, not wanted to extend players in the middle of the season because of the friction, I guess, it could cause within the locker room. Like, what is that like? Does that cause friction? When you're in there and forget about a guy at a different position, but maybe a guy at a same position, you know, whose job is it to keep players, you know, head straight, and mm-hmm. does it cause that kind of friction?
Well, I don't think it caused friction. When you say in the locker room, I don't think it caused player-on-player friction.
Okay.
It may make someone a little ticked off at the front office that you've given player X a new deal versus I want a new deal. And so now I kind of feel like the writing is on the wall and maybe I'm not going to be here. So it sort of throws that into the equation of whether or not that player feels like how much should he be invested in everything else that's supposed to be team-oriented. So from the Eagles' standpoint, I don't necessarily view it as a bad thing. I do understand Elliott's point of the one-year deals and waiting to the end. I do understand that. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if it's as big of an issue to where I would want to compromise what is a good locker room culture and having players focused on the games versus, oh, I'm not getting paid. They're not going to pay me. So should I be – am I going to put in the effort I should be putting in? Like, I do buy that to a degree that it can become a distraction for some players if you're doing that. I can't sit here and tell you I wouldn't feel a certain way towards the organization if I'm in my final year of my deal
And I know I've asked for a new deal, and they've told me no, and yet they give it to someone else.
Who you think you're better than.
Who I think I'm better than.
It might have cost them CJ Gija. I mean, he saw the Saquon deal.
Oh, yeah.
And like the tweet, we know what the tweet he said.
Oh, no, I'm with you there. Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. And here's the thing. They may have got out ahead of it before it does. Right?
Right.
Who knows what CJ is going to be like this year if he realizes he wants an extension and you haven't given him one.
Now, all this stuff is complicated, right? The managing the personalities is complicated. The salary cap is complicated. Evaluating draft picks is complicated. And, Ruben, we've debated this on the show. And I think you are a perfect person to ask. Because Elliot told us one day. Oh, actually, God, he didn't tell us.
I disagree with Elliot.
Yeah. Well, I actually think Rube will agree with
us. What's
this.
The question?
Okay.
There's no way Rube agrees with
us. I don't
us.
Know. Me and Rube talk quite a bit during this.
All right, let me ask. Don't poison the well here. So I was listening to the Go Birds podcast. I listen to Go Birds daily every day. I hear Elliot yap, yap, yap. But I
4 a.m. in your feed.
4 a.m. in your feed. I think
sometimes.
It's a good pod.
Yeah.
And he was doing, I think, like sort of a free agency preview. Mm-hmm. And he said, because he has covered Howie Roseman so closely over the years,
yes,
and seen Howie Roseman manipulate the cap, do whatever he does, that he believes if he was hired right now, he would be a good NFL general manager. Do you believe that Elliot, if he were hired today, would be a good NFL general manager?
Of course, yeah. You can see it in his eyes. He believes it.
Let the guy answer.
Look, yeah. We there's no bad blood on this show. You can say yeah. something negative about Elliot, oh, and
yeah.
we're
yeah,
all
they do
good.
It all the time.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
We do it constantly.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Elliot can be good at what he's doing.
Yeah.
There it is. I just don't see how you don't see, Spike, me following what Howie's done for 10 years hasn't been an educational experience.
Because you, because you still can't explain how Howie does what he does with the salary cap.
I can't explain
no,
how
you
he
didn't.
Does it.
Yeah. Okay, so you said you said if they wanted to sign people right now,
yes.
they could create, if they wanted Myles Garrett,
yes.
they could create cap space
and
to sign
correct.
Myles Garrett. So how would they do that?
They would cut a fat signing bonus check to Myles Garrett. They would put it over a bunch of years, which would give him a low cap hit. That's how they would do it. But they're not doing it because of cash, because they're not spending the money.
No, but the
that's
cap,
different
all
than
those cap hits, they add up.
They
like,
do, I
they're
agree.
There.
To the cap number.
Yes, to
yes.
the cap number.
Yes.
So eventually there is a limit on that, and you can't quite explain how they do that.
No, I don't think you are understanding how they do it. There is $22 million left in salary cap space.
Yes.
They could give Myles Garrett the exact contract he got in Cleveland.
$40 million a year.
And his cap hit would probably be like $12
million. No, but it eventually you would have to account for all of that money.
I agree. But how Howie does it every year is constantly restructure, and the cap is the cap hit always goes lower. So you keep cutting bonus checks, and so the cap number stays lower.
But then the cap continue. Eventually, you have to pay the
Piper.
Well,
then
Piper
why hasn't it happened to the Eagles?
Yeah, but
it's happening this year.
They have almost a Pro Bowl level contract at like every position on offense, and they don't have them on defense because they don't need it on defense, frankly, right now.
Well, they need
could,
something,
but
on
they
defense.
Could if they wanted.
So two things here.
Yeah.
First of all, they're structuring contracts now that really. The bonus stuff is already built in, and the base salaries are low. So
right, that's what I'm saying.
It's hard to do. You know, I mean, Cam Jurgens has a little room to redo his, but there's
right.
not a ton of contracts that they can, you know, they can restructure right now. The other thing is the most important thing, and I think the thing Howie's gotten really good at that I didn't see coming was player evaluation. And to be a GM.
Yeah, Elliot.
Elliot, are you ready to go to the combine and with your stopwatch?
So
and
you leave the combine early, Elliot.
I don't mean
you thought Quinion
yeah,
Mitchell
on,
was
hold
a
on,
bad
hold
pick.
On. I was wrong about Quinion. GMs get him wrong. I don't know what to
Howie
say.
Doesn't.
But well,
well
you, he did for a while.
You think
but,
Travis Hunter is going
to
be a bust?
I do think Travis Hunter is going to be a bust. I would not take him in the top five, but I wouldn't. But I don't think Howie's gotten better at evaluation.
Yes.
I think they – well, hold on. I think they've gotten better at bringing rookies along. Like, I think the way Nick has a developmental program, I think having more talent around the rookies helps. And I just think he started drafting guys from big programs. Let's not act like he's finding, you know, diamonds
well,
in the rough.
Well, Quinion Mitchell.
If I drafted from Georgia every year for four straight years, I would probably hit
Quinion
him.
Mitchell, Cooper DeGene, yeah, and Jalen Hunt.
I said I was wrong about Quinion.
You got an all-pro from
Toledo.
I know,
the Big Ten. You take a deep breath. You know.
Would you have been scouting Toledo?
Is Howie scouting Toledo? Howie has scouts.
He got an
scout,
apartment
and then
in
they
Toledo.
Talk. Yeah, okay. Well, Nick's the one that was in on Toledo. I think what Howie does is he has people around him that tell him information, then he makes decisions. That's what I'd be good at.
Oh, so you'd be good at listening to other people.
Yes. Not,
correct.
Tell him how to manipulate the cap. Yeah. Do the Howie thing.
True. Jake Rosenberg was huge for Howie for a bunch of years. I think Howie would tell you that.
Ruby also said yesterday in response to Joe Banner that he disagrees with Joe Banner.
I disagree with his assessment. I would be interested to see why Joe Banner feels that way.
So Joe Banner said that the Eagles are in a more precarious cap situation than they have been in years. He said, not insulting them, they won the Super Bowl, but their cap situation hasn't been like this in years.
I would like to know why he feels that way.
Well, Rube just said there's not a lot of contracts to restructure.
But they have $22 million in cap space. They could still do things if they wanted.
Well, they have to field an entire roster with that cap space.
And they have one of the best rosters in the NFL. I agree with Joe Banner that there's less flexibility than there was in past years. I do agree with that. But I wouldn't say they're in a bad cap situation or precarious, whatever word he used.
He said more precarious.
Okay. Well, you should have him on. I'd be curious to hear why he feels
that. Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, what other year have they been in this situation? I mean, there have been a couple years along the way. But
Elliot's saying they're not in this situation.
Well, they have $22 million.
He's wrong.
No, but I don't think I am. Like,
but,
they
I mean,
have,
one of
have,
the reasons they have that cap space is because they just let half their defense go.
Well, okay. They let Milton Williams, who got overpaid and was their third defensive tackle, arguably second, fine. But, like, at the end of the day,
they also traded CJ.
But they could have re-signed some of these guys if they wanted. They could have re-signed Isaiah Rodgers. They could have re-signed Oren Burks. They could have re-signed or kept Darius Slay. They're electing not
Slay.
To. That is that is different than being in a precarious cap situation, in my opinion. They're making decisions on these players because they're getting overpaid. They could bring them back if they wanted. Besides Milton Williams. That's the one I'd say.
And Josh Sweat.
I'm not as sure about that. But I do agree, like, money is a factor there for sure.
Cap space is a factor.
Yes, cap space a factor, but they could fit him in the cap. That's what I feel like you're not understanding.
No, I understand.
I don't think you do.
I don't think you're as good at math as you think you are.
You get cut from your high school soccer team because
of
your grades.
No, I quit my high school soccer team
because of your grades.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly right.
You quit the soccer team?
And so that I could make
the JV soccer team.
And to make friends.
You don't have any friends on teams, Elliot.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a former athlete like you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I love this show so much, man.
And Elliot's been here since like 6 a.m., too, so his brain's kind of fried.
Yeah, but he keeps going. He is the best.
He never stops.
Elliot, I'm looking at you. I love you. You're the best.
Love you, too, buddy.
All right.
You know, I sit next to Elliot at the NovaCare
exactly.
in the media house. So I hear his theories like 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And they don't scream future general manager to you?
A little bit.
All right.
There you go.
There you go, Elliot. It's a win.
Just so you know, Rube, we're planning in August to do Elliot Week on the WIP Afternoon Show where an hour a day, he has to come in there with one of those takes and just fight about it for the entire time.
Like, he thinks players should be able to bet on themselves, Rube.
Yeah, he thinks it should be legal for players
but
to gamble.
But I recognize I'm ahead of my time on that.
Yeah.
But
in
20 years, it'll be happening.
You're a visionary.
Yeah,
he really is.
Yeah.
All right. We are the Birds Town Hall, McGurk's and Royers Ford. I love my job. The WIP Afternoon Show, Ruben Frank with us. Rob Ellis will join us for the 5 o'clock hour as well. Jack, what do you have coming up in the top five at 5 for the Birds Town
Hall? Well, I'm glad that Rube's here. I'm glad that Elliot's here. I'm glad that Robbie E's here.
Uh-oh.
Because while we have the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings, I'm more interested in the Worm power
rankings. Oh, no! Yeah. NovaCare Worm
The NovaCare Worm.
Okay.
Who has it infiltrated now?
All right. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
All right, let's get to Mark right now. He's calling from Delaware. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, I just want to say that was a great 12 hours of radio yesterday. I always like when your station does it. Nice to hear you guys do the crossover shows and interact with everybody. So
that was fun.
Cool.
Thank you, man. And let me just say thank you to McGurk's and thank you to everyone who listened. And then obviously, of course, thank you to everyone who came out. We met a lot of WIP listeners that were there, and I just want everyone to know we appreciate you. So,
and what an awesome spot.
Very cool spot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
gorgeous.
No question. All right, Mark, what do you make of the Eagles in free agency so far?
Well, I wanted to make 2 points today. So, number one, I wish I would have got on like 5 minutes ago because I was going to say I'm not real thrilled about free agency, and I was going to talk about what Schefter put out on you know, Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm excited about that, man. I mean, you know, they lost a lot of players, but having 20 draft picks in the next 2 years and 17 in the first 5 rounds is definitely, you know, positive for them.
Well, it is. I'll just say this. That generally will have, Now, I was going to say, boy, voice got high there, John.
Hey, now.
That was not good.
What are you doing?
He's the two. I mean.
Yeah, very similar.
Seems like it happens all the time.
Mark, I was going to say that has more of an impact on 2028 and 2029, which I do think it has more of an impact. But part of Schefter's point.
That's kind
of
like yodeling, what you just did there.
That's horrible. It's horrible.
But you're a yodeler.
Drafting those guys, it does help you keep some of the more high-priced guys. With that said, the actual playing of those players will probably impact more, 3 and 4 years from now. Because to the point Devin made earlier, what Quinion did and what Cooper DeJean did is very historically rare. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't normally
get that. You can't assume that every draft pick is going to do that.
Yeah. Don't count on rookies.
I totally agree. Yeah. So, Joe, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Over the last couple of weeks, you keep on being concerned about the Eagles schedule for next year.
Oh, man, it's rough.
You got to get back to yodeling. I really do want to get back to yodeling.
We'll get to it. Go ahead, Mark.
So let me ask you a question. Who's the Eagles' biggest contender in the NFC East?
Well, in the NFC East, it's obviously Washington.
Might be Washington, okay. For the conference.
Do you realize that it is, Washington and the Eagles basically have the same schedule for next year?
Well, it would be
close. He's right.
It would be close.
It's really close. No, I looked it up yesterday. It's negligible is the point.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, one and two in a division is going to be close with two having a perceived advantage. But I got you. Yeah.
And the Lions and the Vikings schedule's not much easier, to be honest with you.
Well, listen, this is part of how teams like the Vikings get created, meaning who's next year's Vikings team? Who's next year's Washington team that feasts on an easier schedule? And see, here's one of Mark. I'll give you one of
the
my
Bears.
Maybe.
That's a pretty good one. It could be.
Maybe. The quarterback's got to be better than he was.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe.
For
He's
sure.
probably going to be.
Mark, obviously I feel good about the Eagles. I'll just say this. Between the schedule and the defensive losses and what I think will likely be more injuries, although they've had a pretty good run the last couple of years not having too many, I just think it's going to be harder for the Eagles next year, and it wouldn't shock me if they're not the one seed and have to play multiple playoff games on the road.
They weren't the one seed this year.
I understand. That's why I said multiple playoff games on the road.
All right. Hey, take it to the
bank.
Do you
think they're going to lose the division? Because the only way they play multiple on the road is if they are the most likely way. Most likely way.
You can be the three seed and play two games on the road. So,
the NFC is weak, though, man.
We'll see. We'll see. Mark, give me an answer for a family member and a title.
Well, I wish ESP was in to vote for my thing. I'm going to say I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Yeah, I hate that song.
Really?
Yeah, it's horrible.
You hate
it's not
that
fantastic.
Song.
Wait, does
I like it?
Does horrible. Does ESP like that song?
He just loves Christmas music.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there's any reason to hate.
No,
the song.
That one.
It's
and
a good
the,
song.
It's kind
cute
of weird.
Little
it's
song.
Horrible. A little weird, but it's catchy.
And then the grandma got run over by the reindeer. It's another.
Well, that's awful.
Yeah,
but I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. It's like a cute little way of saying you've got like a wonderful family unit that loves one another.
All right, so what do you want to do with yodeling here, John?
It's nice.
I think it's nice.
Have you listened? Listen to yodeling, like real. Have you ever heard
please
people
don't,
yodel?
Please don't yodel.
I'm not. I can't.
Okay.
I can't come anywhere close to yodeling.
Good.
Have you heard how
I've heard
skillful?
It. What is the purpose
real
of
yodelers
it?
Are?
Good question, Ben.
What's the purpose
I don't know.
Of it? I don't know. But they have. Ben, they have contests. Like they have world champions. Yodeling is big business. I don't
but
know
why?
Anything about it. I don't know why. I have no idea why. But it is massive. And Jimmy, I hope that you are like looking at stuff right now where it's just amazing. You're seeing the yodeling.
I'm not really. I got a 12-year-old yodeling if you want to hear it.
I mean, this is brutal.
I don't think it's brutal.
No.
I think it sounds awful.
It literally serves no purpose.
It sounds like an animal dying.
It does.
It does. Right? It sounds like an animal is dying.
There is yodeling in the Sound of Music. That is good.
Yeah, that part's good.
That part is very
good. This sounds horrible.
Yeah. This reminds me of how the Phillies hit last October.
It's awful. Like, this is one of the worst things I've ever heard.
All right, so hopefully we're done with the yodeling portion.
Just listen to that.
Let's eliminate this from society, please.
Do people bump that? Like,
no.
is someone riding
bump.
Around with the windows down and yodeling
no
coming
chance.
Out?
I would hope not.
No chance.
Like,
sunroof open.
No. By the way,
I might have nightmares about that.
94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. John, you are a strange bird, man. I know people think I am, but
Wow.
You got
to bump the yodel, man.
Brutal.
Pulling up at the light.
So I want to get to the Phillies thing here. Obviously, the Eagles have been the main topic for all the obvious reasons. Day four of free agency today. But, you know, one of the big things with the Phillies is going to be, are they going to change their approach at the plate? Put it another way, are they going to try to put the ball in play more? Maybe less launch angle stuff, hopefully less strikeouts. I mean, we've talked about maybe they change the lineup. But more important than changing the actual order of the lineup is the approach to the hitters. And so, we know who we're talking about. We're talking about Trey Turner. Yeah. We're talking about Castellanos. We're talking about, those two primarily.
Those are pretty much the big ones.
But, Rojas hit the ball. That's all.
Like,
Marsh
I would
a little
get
bit.
Nuts with Brandon Marsh at times.
Yeah, a little
so
bit.
So did they abandon the, hey, someone else might lead off thing? Is that now officially kaput?
No, I don't think it's kaput.
Ben, who is going to lead off?
I still think Schwarber's going to lead off.
Well, that's the point. He's leading off in these games now. I don't see. I was thinking maybe Bryson Stott would get a chance to show what he could do.
Not good enough.
Seems like they moved right past
that. It's a long season. He could at
some point. Yeah. I think the team would be best served if Trey leads off, utilize that speed a little bit more.
But he's got to have the different approach to the plate and be good enough to get on base.
I know, but I do think he will see a lot more fastballs if he's leading off.
But
if you have Harper behind him,
he's
and
a pretty
then
good
Bowman
fastball hitter.
He's a very good fastball.
Yeah,
hitter.
He is.
But
yeah.
Doesn't it feel like they've given up on that concept now?
No, I don't think they've given up on it.
Okay, good.
Got to make a decision in about a week and a half. Opening day in 2 weeks. All right, so let's listen. Bryce Harper was on with the afternoon show last week, and he talked about, and you can tell that he's of the mindset, team-wise, they got to make some adjustments. Here's what Bryce said to Spike, Ike, and Jack.
From a team standpoint, we just got to adapt. You know, I think, obviously, we're going to hit the homer. I mean, it's just, I think that's something that we do. We're going to hit the homer. We're going to do, we're going to hit a lot of doubles and score a lot of runs. But we just got to understand that, you know, in big moments, big situations, we can't try to do too much and just got to play our game.
What he said at the very end, just got to play our game, I think that's such a normal way an athlete will end a statement. And so it almost sounds, it's like the opposite of what he was saying. Like, just got to play our game. No, what he's really saying is we got to have a new game, and then we got to play that game. So I'm glad that he's of that mindset. Look, I don't need an adjustment from Bryce Harper. I just think he's incredible. And I think he and Saquon are the two best players in Philly sports. But it's the other guys I need adjustments from. I'm glad, though, he's of that mindset for the team. Dombrowski, let's go to something he said to us last week when we had him on the program, whichever day it was, Thursday, I think. And it was in the 9 o'clock hour. He said something, and Rhea, you know, this didn't sit well with some people when he talked about, you know, the approach to play in the playoffs.
No.
Let's listen to this exchange we had last week with Dave Dombrowski.
I mean, you can talk about plate discipline, and I know that everybody talks that about, and you always try to increase that and be a little bit better. But the reality is, it was interesting last year. We went into it at the time, and in the playoffs, our plate discipline was in the middle of the pack versus playoff clubs.
Didn't look like it to me.
No, but
no, I hear you. You're basing that on
statistics. Yes,
it didn't. And obviously, we were living and dying with every pitch.
Sure,
as you know.
Yes,
as I'm sure
as I was too.
You were as well.
But it's interesting at that time. But it just shows how hard it is to score runs.
For a guy who's very smooth with how he presents things publicly, that was an unwise.
He should not saying it. He said it in the postseason press conference. Yeah. Someone should have gotten to him immediately after and said, "David, stop it."
Even if it's true, no one wants to hear it.
I didn't have as big a problem.
I don't want him to think it.
Oh, well, that's the point. I didn't have a huge problem like a lot of listeners did with the interview. That part I have a problem with.
It was like it was
don't
planned.
Say that, dude. Yeah. Like, I don't care if you were second. I don't care if the numbers said you were the best at it. Like, we watch with our eyes. Yeah. Like, just don't say it.
It was the biggest reason why they lost to the Mets. They had guys flailing it. And Ben,
the Diamondbacks, too. The biggest reason.
Yeah.
And the Diamondbacks.
Suspects.
And Ben, when that series ended, you went nuts on our show the next day.
Yeah, I wasn't very happy.
That's the most mad Ben has been.
Happy.
I think that's the most fired up Ben's been on our show.
Yeah, I know.
Was it right after that?
But I will say, and this is why I know you can't change the spots on a leopard. I understand that. But what I saw in the games that I've done in spring training, last Saturday, I think they had 10 hits, and we went into the seventh inning. They had 10 hits. They had two extra base hits, a homer by Bohm and a double by Bohm. But they had scored 5 runs on 8 singles.
So you sense they're spraying the ball around.
And all the other hits were up the middle or the opposite way.
Okay.
And I know it's spring training. I know it doesn't mean squat, but it's very It's a good sign.
Look, Schwarber is
a good sign.
Schwarber last year is an example. If an athlete makes a concerted effort to make an adjustment, you can improve and play differently. Mm-hmm. He did it last year. Now you got to get the other guys to do it. So, look, we'll see if they do. The good news is for the fruits of the labor to bear out, you know, plus or minus, you have 6 months to work it out. Meaning they're going to make the playoffs whether they swing for the fences or not, I believe. I mean, you know, 90-something percent chance they say the Phillies make the playoffs.
Yeah, if they stay healthy enough, they will.
So they have time to experiment. They have time to work on it. Come October, they've got to be ready. And, John, I'll give you an Eagles analogy. I always thought this was an Andy Reid weakness with the Eagles offense. I felt like when the Eagles would get to the playoffs, they were one-dimensional in some of those years where they weren't effective enough in running the ball, power running the ball.
Well, they were effective. He just stopped.
Well, I guess that's part of it.
The Tampa game,
part of it.
Brian Mitchell started out, ran it down their throats, Deuce ran it in, right. And then he threw the ball 50 times.
He threw the ball a lot. He threw the ball a lot versus the Giants in the 2000 playoff game. My point
is, want to run was lacking.
When you are in the playoffs, because the other team is either good or great, it's important to be able to win multiple ways.
Yes.
And the Phillies were not equipped last year in the playoffs to win by spraying the ball around. They just weren't.
And they'll be focused on improving in that
I've
area.
Said this,
I can't believe it caught up to Andy Reid, and he actually did what we hated against us in
amazing.
The Super Bowl our advantage. It's unbelievable.
Doubt. I've said this a gazillion times. The last couple of years, the Phillies are like that great three-point shooting basketball team.
That's a good
if those
analogy.
Threes are going down, hey, man, the world is great.
Yeah.
But if those threes aren't, you have to find other ways to score. And I think the Phillies players realize that this is their window. The window is closing, and they have to make the adjustments necessary because they've lost the way in the fashion they've lost the last couple of years.
I like that analogy a lot.